the uniforms. People have commented on the uniform and how nice it looks and all that. And it brought to mind that when I was with the 1st Marine Division, one of my men was in jail in Ventura County. So I went to the Ventura County Jail to visit him. And I'm standing there telling the lady I am the chaplain for 3rd Battalion, 11th Marines, and I'm there to see this gentleman. And she said, "Do you have anything to prove you're a chaplain?" I'm standing there in full dress whites with gold all over and crosses on my shoulder. And she asked, "If I have anything to prove that I'm a chaplain?" I said, "What about this uniform?" And she said, "Oh, you could have bought that at any Air Force, Army, surplus store." I said, I wish you'd been around a few years ago, because they told me I had to go through 7 years of college to get this thing. I could have saved a whole lot of time. Well, my ID card, your military ID, does not tell anybody that you're a chaplain. It tells your rank and that sort of thing, but it doesn't say chaplain. So I kept thinking, what have I got? What have I got that says chaplain on it? Official document. And I finally got in with my Geneva Convention card. That's what says chaplain on it. So if any of you want a uniform like this, you can either go to 7 years of college or go to the local Army, Navy, surplus store. I want to begin by reading from Job chapter 19. Job 19, 23 through 27. Title of the message is The 11th Hour. Job 19, 23 through 27. "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give you praise for these people who have allowed us to serve and worship you in freedom. We don't take for granted that there are millions of Christians around the world afraid of prison or even death because of what they believe. Our veterans are a significant reason why we don't fear, and we thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. There's a very curious sign posted on the Paris subway. In each car, next to a couple of seats, it says, "Reserved for disabled ex-service members." Well, that's the translation. Really, the seats were reserved for literally those who were mutilated by war, who lost limbs or eyes or organs. And those simple signs are a sobering reminder of the fact that there are all around us men and some women who fought bravely to preserve the world from fascism and survive, but at a cost. Our Veterans Day observance has roots not in the Second, but in the First World War. It was 107 years ago that the guns fell asleep. They fell silent. The Great War had shaken the foundations of the old empires, redrawn the map. It had seemed like a chapter from Revelation. The end of the world. Peace came at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. The timing was symbolic. The 11th hour, the last few minutes of the day. We still use that expression to describe the moment just before all things, all hopes lost. An 11th hour call from the governor may spare a convict's life. It isn't about time, it's about urgency, immediacy, the last chance to stand up against disaster. Job says, "Oh, that my words were written down, engraved in stone, or even on my flesh, though it destroyed my skin." His friends have been telling him to give up hope, to admit that life's futile, to curse God and die. But Job stands up against it. And despite his miseries, despite his suffering, despite the cross he bears, Job trusts in something more. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives. In other words, that beyond the cross and its threat of death lies the empty tomb and its promise of life. Job's a soldier of a sort. He doesn't struggle with the Philistines, but with doubt and fear and anger and despair. And at the 11th hour, in the face of destruction, he stands up for goodness. He stands up for faith. You can almost hear the trumpet blow as he gives the battle cry, I know that my Redeemer lives, and as I stand up now, so in the last day, he too will stand beside me. In Roman times, a church member might be called a Miles Christi, which is a soldier of Christ. The opposite was a paganus, a pagan, which meant the country person, but became Roman army slang for a civilian. So to be a Christian meant to join up, to enlist. But you didn't have to be young and fit. You could be old and bent over blind and crippled. The Christian soldier doesn't fight with swords and armor, but with the weapons that Job used, faith and hope. Christians are, in our metaphorical language, soldiers. So are the angels. That's what Luke calls them in the Christmas story. The heavenly host of the Christmas story is more literally the army of the skies. They're God's airborne rangers who show up at the 11th hour as the world hangs on the edge of doom to announce a new treaty with God, an armistice. Peace and goodwill. In Matthew 22, 23 through 33, the Sadducees, who are wealthy, religious, traditionalists, come to Jesus with a strange hypothetical question about a woman who married seven men in a row and whose wife was she in the resurrection. Now, this is the sort of nitpicky, misses the point legalism, for which Jesus has no use, and he simply mocks them. You see, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And they didn't believe in angels either. But so Jesus says, well, in the resurrection we'll all be like angels. You know, guys, I'm ignoring your nonsense. And then he moves on to his real point, which is new life. God is the God of the living, he says. So stop worrying about the dead. Stop playing games and stop troubling yourself about dead people, imaginary people, and hypothetical people. And start paying attention to what matters. Loving God and loving each other. Jesus is a little like Patton, who once slapped a shell-shocked infantryman and said, wake up, soldier, we've got a war to fight. But of course, the war we fight with Jesus by our side isn't a war of tanks and missiles. It's a war within each soul, where it's always the 11th hour, where every day is a battle for survival. Being a soldier is hard work. It's true of the grunt in the foxhole, and it's also true of our metaphorical Christian soldier. Sometimes, paradoxically, they even trade weapons. Sometimes when people are behaving badly, the church needs to become a sergeant, using the law, the rules, as a way to bring them in to the gospel of repentance and forgiveness. And sometimes even the toughest soldiers need to break their wartime habits and seek peace. I want you to look at an Army Reserve first sergeant by the name of Seth Castle. He served in Qatar, Afghanistan, and Iraq. And then he came home to his family in Kansas, to his wife and his daughters. But he wasn't the same man who had left. And you really are after war. His little girls were scared and they were confused. So Seth wrote a story for them about a family of lions. And the daddy lion, he wrote, loved his family very much. But he had gone away to do some hard work and had come home with a fire in his chest. And it kept him awake at night. It made him forget things sometimes and burn a little hotter than he should. It hurt him. Sometimes because of that fire, the daddy lion seems mad at his family, but he still loved them more than anything. And that story has been published, by the way. It's called Why Is Dad So Mad? And you can buy it on Amazon. I read a review where another customer, a soldier with PTSD, read it to his own kids. And they got it. They said, Daddy, that lion has a fire just like you. But he still loves his family just like you. And as he put the book down, he was crying. Long, slow tears down his cheek. You see, not every disabled ex-service member has lost a leg or an arm. Often, the mutilations are invisible to our eyes. But save a place for them anyway, not just in the subway, but in your heart. Nor can we see by looking at the Christian beside us in the pew, or the stranger in the street, what battles they fought in their soul, what wounds they've suffered, what demons they've defeated. But save a place for them as well, for each other and for the stranger. And even with those who are hardest to love, remember this, the same Christ died for all of us. The same God has promised to stand with each of us at the 11th hour at the last battle. What is a vet? He's the cop on the beat who spent 6 months in Saudi Arabia sweating 2 gallons a day, making sure the armored personnel carriers didn't run out of fuel. He's the barroom loudmouth, dumber than five wooden planks, whose overgrown frat boy behaviors outweighed 100 times in the cosmic scales by 4 hours of exquisite bravery near the 38th parallel. She or he is the nurse who fought against futility and went to sleep sobbing every night for 2 solid years in Da Nang. He's the POW who went away one person and came back another, or didn't come back at all. He's the Quantico drill instructor that has never seen combat, but has saved countless lives by turning slouchy, no-account rednecks and gang members into Marines and teaching them to watch each other's backs. He's the parade-riding legionnaire who pins on his ribbons and medals with a prosthetic hand. He's the career quartermaster who watches the ribbons and medals passing by. He's the 3 anonymous heroes in the Tomb of the Unknown whose presence at the Arlington National Cemetery must forever preserve the memory of all the anonymous heroes whose valor die unrecognized with them on the battlefield or in the ocean's sunless deep. In past, it might have been that old guy bagging groceries at the supermarket, palsied and aggravatingly slow. But when you question it, you find out that he helped liberate the Nazi death camp. And he wishes all day long that his wife was still alive to hold him whenever the nightmares come. He's an ordinary and yet an extraordinary human being. A person who offered some of his life's most vital years in the service of his country, and who sacrificed his ambitions so others wouldn't have to sacrifice theirs. He's a soldier and a sword against the darkness, and he's nothing more than the finest, greatest testimony on behalf of the finest, greatest nation ever. I pledge allegiance to the American flag, forever may she wave. God bless those covered with her as they're lowered to their grave. We must not take for granted the freedoms that we share and the soldiers that protect us in our darkest hour. Soldiers leave their loved ones to heed their country's call, ready to place their lives in danger, willing to give it all. Sleepless nights and endless days are common, but they know without the blood of patriots, the freedom tree won't grow. Through hail, rain, snow, and heat, blood, sweat, and tears, they march into the best or the heat of battle, pushing aside their fears. When the physical battle is over, the mental battle begins. For some, it's only temporary. For others, it never ends. So pray for all of our soldiers, and let us never forget, we can never repay them. We'll always be in their debt. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for those who have served our nation and laid down their lives to protect and defend our freedom, asking that we remember their sacrifice and make right use of our liberty. We pray for those who still bear the scars of their service, asking for healing for them in mind, body, and spirit. We pray for those who serve us now, especially for those in harm's way, asking that you shield them from danger and bring them home in safety. We pray for all those who govern, asking that you turn their hearts and minds to the work of establishing a peace born of justice and equity. We pray for all those who are caught up in conflict around the globe this day, civilians and peacekeepers and the poor, who have no escape, asking that we have the courage to defend the defenseless and look to that day when we'll train for war no more. May the peace you gave us, the peace that passes all human understanding, be peace that guides and sustains us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.